Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Shape us, make us, mold us, Father. We're careful to give you all the honor and glory and praise. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh, saints. I just want to thank those here in the sanctuary that have joined us. Also, I want to thank those who are tuning in on iChurch. It is a blessing to be worshiping with you. Today is Rosh Hashanah. This is a Hebrew New Year. And you all know how we are about all of the meaning that we find in the Hebrew, all the truth that we find in the Hebrew. And so the regular calendar that we use, the world calendar, they call it the Gregorian calendar. New Year does not start until, of course, what? January, right? But it's beautiful that we're able to acknowledge a new year, and we're going to set the tone for 2016 by what we do here. I'm thanking Yahweh for truth. Amen. And I thank him for truth. Walk in that truth. And so the beautiful thing is that what was preparing us for this was, I was telling you, the last month in the year, Elul, I was telling you all that we had went into was a preparation, you know, trying to get us ready. We have to take an inventory of ourselves. He's calling for a closer walk. He's calling for intimacy. Who wants a closer walk? Well, to get a closer walk, you have to draw closer. A lot of people think that you're just going, a closer walk is going to fall on you. No, you actually have to participate in a closer walk. You know, a lot of times you say, pray for my closer walk. Yeah, I'll be in agreement with you, but you need to draw closer. You need to be here. You need to be present. You need to seek him in prayer. You need to seek him in the word. And then the closer that you get into the word, let me say that again. The closer you get into the word is the closer you get to him. Let me say that once more. The closer you get into the word is the closer you get to him. Because it's his word, right? And so if you want to get closer to him, and you want to find him, you want him to talk to you, other people say, well, I want him to talk to me. Well, have you opened your Bible? Because if you open your Bible, he's talking. So is he calling for a higher relationship? So there's some things I want to share with you today. But the first thing that I want to share is I need you to go, I don't know if we have the appreciation. I've been talking about knowing for the last few weeks, and I don't know if we all have an appreciation for the word that allows us to receive. Who wants to give something to someone and you know they're not going to appreciate it? You're like, I could have kept my gift card in my pocket. If you're not going to appreciate what I'm giving you, then what's up? You all have to appreciate the words that Yahweh has left you. It has endured over 2,000 years to light the way, to show you how to go, to speak to you, to talk to your situation. There is nothing that you guys are going through that is not answered in the Word. He has provided that word for you so that you could live a victorious life. He loves you so much that he's given you not laws, but he's given you instructions on how to live a victorious and prosperous life. Who wants to live a victorious and prosperous life? You want that, right? If you want that, tell your neighbor, follow the instructions. These are not my instructions. These are instructions that he has written in his word. So, to set the tone for that, go to Matthew. We like to use his Hebrew name, Matityahu. Matthew, Matityahu. For those of you who may be here for the first time, we love truth. We are known as the church for truth seekers because we know that there's something deeper. And when we found that, the name Yeshua, the name Jesus did not come until 1611. So, 1611. Well, I had somebody, when we were at the Grand, I had somebody do the math. 2016 divided by 16, I mean, minus 1611. How many years is that?
405.
400 and what?
Five.
405 years. So the name Jesus was only used for 405 years. But Yeshua walked on this earth, his true name, Yeshua, means he will save, he will deliver. He walked on this earth over 2,000 years ago. So what name were they calling him the majority of that time before it was changed in 1611? And it was only changed because King James wanted to do a translation. And they got a grand idea that they would translate names. Well, words should be translated, but names are the same no matter what language. You wherever I go. I was telling you guys when I used to work in corporate, I was hosting a group from Japan, and they were speaking their language, but when they were trying to refer to me and what I was giving them instructions for, they were speaking Japanese, and then when they would get to the point of my name, they said, Tom Washington. They didn't translate my name. So there was no need to translate the name Yeshua, because they said he was given a name that's above every name. That at the name of Yeshua, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And you're saying, well, Pastor Tom, it don't matter. I could call him whatever. I'm not putting the emphasis on his name. Yahweh is putting the emphasis on his son's name because he's the one that named him. And the name that he gave him means that he will save, means that he will deliver. Is anybody saved and delivered? So his name speaks to what he does. And so I need to get that clear, because when we reveal some of these things in the Hebrew, that truth. And I was telling somebody the other day, what hit me was that the apostle went to Israel and he came back in 1999. And he's like, hey, we need to start using that true name. And I was like, no, the Bible say his name is Jesus. I'm going to call him Jesus. And everybody was saying, well, apostle, we were baptized in Jesus' name. Maybe should we get rebaptized? And he said, no. Not until I get rebaptized. So he had Dr. Queen baptize him in the name of Yeshua. And you baptize Dr. Queen in the name of Yeshua. And then everybody started coming in of baptizing in the name of Yeshua. And I'm sharing this because I was his son. Still am. See, I was. I still am. But everybody was rushing to get rebaptized. And I was like, nah. He need to speak to me. He need to tell me. He need to show me. Because I've been when I would have nightmares when I was a kid, I'd just say, Jesus. And the boogeyman would go away. So that's what I know. Now I'm not ready for that. So 6 months passed. Everybody's still getting 12 months passed. And it was like, what you gonna do? Nah, I'm gonna do it when I'm ready. See, y'all didn't know that. And then I was like, and I wanna do it in private. I want my own, if I decide to do that. Well, he knows each and every one of us in a special way. Because that's what I was like some of the where you all have been, and maybe some of those of you who are listening in. And I was like, nah, because the Bible said that his name was Jesus. Because that was my reference. But I was a professional student. It took me 10 years to graduate. Amen. Hallelujah. I ain't ashamed. Some of y'all graduated cum laude. I graduated o laude. Thank you, Lordy. I know it took me a minute. And so, but he knew, because I was a student, I was like, I'm facts, and I'm a science student. So I know how stuff works. You know, I'm working with astrophysics and you know, all that stuff and thermodynamics, so I know how stuff works. So he said, okay. Basically, he said, okay, Mr. Professional Student. One day, I was dealing with something else completely different. He said, get a dictionary. He spoke to me just as clear as day. Get a dictionary. And this is like 12 months after the fact. Everybody done been baptized, and I'm still holding out. And I said, well, what do I need a dictionary for? I want a dictionary. He said, look up the name Jesus. Now, as a student, a dictionary is not trying to save you. A dictionary is not trying to get a doctrine across. A dictionary is simply trying to define something and give you truth. Trying to give you the truth in it. And so I was like, why didn't I think of this before? So he said, look up the name Jesus. And I looked up the name Jesus. And it's clear as day. Merriam-Webster. I don't know if Merriam is a man or a woman. I don't know who Merriam is. But it's Merriam and Webster. And the definition said, from the Hebrew, Yeshua. And I was like, man, if the dictionary is just going to tell the truth, and they don't have no access behind, they just tell them what's true. I said, thank you, Yahweh. I'm ready to be baptized in the name of Yeshua, because now I see this is the original name. It was the original name. Anybody knows anything about word etymology? Etymology is the beginning of words and the names and things. And so when I saw that, I was like, this is the truth. Amen. And it didn't take the Bible. Merriam-Webster was giving me more truth on the name than anything else. And so when I saw that for myself, and he knows how to deal with us, I was ready to receive that truth. But he couldn't do, because the apostle was like, okay, I'm gonna change, make all the names of the songs. Stop saying Jesus, say yes. I was like, let me find some songs where I don't have to say anything. You see how the head work? But see, I wasn't a pastor then, so don't be looking at me like I'm crazy. I was just a musician. I was just, you know, doing the bare minimum to get in. But when my whole life changed when I received that truth. And what I'm trying to tell you is, don't shut out truth. Because truth will change your life. Truth will transform you. Truth will do some stuff for you that you never thought was even possible. I'm thanking Yahweh right now for receiving the truth. The truth. So when the word says the truth, they shall know the truth. The Hebrew concept for knowing, I was telling you guys, is owning. When you know something, you own it. So the truth, they shall know the truth. They shall own the truth. And the truth will make you free. The more truth you get, the more freer you become. The more truth you get, you realize how much authority you have. The more truth you get, you realize how much power you got. The enemy can't do nothing to you. So I'm telling you all today, receive the truth. Amen. It's his truth. And when you look at the original text and these things just pop out at you, it's like looking at the Bible in 3D. HD. Who has HD TV? Ooh, amen. I'll be praying for the rest of y'all to receive that. Because that HD TV, it be giving you definitions. I mean, it's more, sometimes more than you can handle. You see the pimples and stuff on people. But it gives you high definition. But that's what knowing the Hebrew is like. It's like high definition. And so when I'm looking at these things, I need you to really understand why we do what we do, because we're just seeking the truth. So go to Matthew, Matityahu, 13th chapter, and we're going to go to the 16th verse. So Yeshua, he was walking the earth, and he was sharing things that were written in the Torah. He was sharing things that had been passed down from different prophets. And so one of the most prolific prophets in the Bible, Isaiah or Yeshayahu, he was sharing something that Yeshayahu had prophesied. And what he prophesied was this. This is Yeshua sharing what the prophet had been told by Yahweh. And basically he was saying, Isaiah, Yeshayahu, I need you to share with the people the word, the truth, what I'm saying. But they're not going to receive it. I'm making it simple for you. Tell them, give them an opportunity, but I'm telling you right now, they're not going to receive it. And it was a foreshadowing, really, of the church age, where here Yeshua is years after, is saying, just like the prophet Isaiah. So sometimes when you see E-S-I-A-S, Isaiah, that's another way to say Isaiah. So don't think that he's talking about anybody different. Isaiah is Isaiah, is Yeshayahu. And so when Yeshua was saying this, he says, they're not going to receive it. And just like back then when Yeshayahu, Isaiah, Isaiah was telling the people what I said, what my truth was, just like they didn't receive it back then, that seems to be the case today. And this was Yeshua speaking, so that was 2,000 years ago. So now 2,000 years or so later, here we are. And guess what? It's the same thing. When Yahweh is speaking and we're sharing his word, he wants us to share it, but he knows that some people are just not going to receive it. But he says something about us. He says, 16 says, but blessed are your eyes. This is Yeshua talking. For they see. See, you guys, because you got the Holy Spirit, you have spiritual eyes. Your eyes have been opened. The Spirit can now reveal truths to you that were not available to you when you were in sin. But hallelujah, you have been transformed. You have a renewed mind. And now that you got the Holy Ghost dwelling within, you can see some stuff now. Not only that, but you can hear some stuff now. Your ears have been opened. So he says, blessed are you. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. And your ears, for they what? Hear. And 17th verse says this. This is what got me. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men had desire to see those things which you see. They desired that many years ago, but they have not seen them. And they desire to hear the stuff that you guys are hearing, but they have what? They have not heard. Prophets that were connected to Yahweh, but now in this day and age, you guys are hearing some stuff that they didn't hear. Not only that, you guys are seeing some stuff that they didn't see, but they would have loved to have seen it or heard it. But he's telling you, blessed are you. You guys are blessed because he's revealing some stuff to you, and he's showing you stuff, and he's opening up stuff, and he's manifesting stuff to you that even the prophets didn't have. You got this Holy Ghost power, this dunamis dwelling on the inside of you. You guys do not seem to understand how blessed you are. Tell your neighbor, we're really blessed. But who's saying this? This is Yeshua himself saying, you're blessed. Let me put it this way. If Yeshua's telling y'all blessed. Wait a minute, I don't think you're getting it. If Yeshua is the one telling you guys that you're blessed, you can take that to the bank and believe that you're blessed. I'm not saying you're blessed. He's saying you're blessed. Think about it for a minute. Hasn't there been some stuff that he has shown you? Some desires. You wanted your family saved, and look what Yahba did. You wanted a door of utterance. You wanted some prayers answered, and look what he did. Look how he, you wanted him to speak to you and move in your life. And guess what? Evidently, he must have done something. You sitting up in these seats. He did that for you. So saying this to say, when he's speaking and saying something in his word, you need to really, really listen. And you need to really, really receive it. And he says, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and they haven't seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and they have not heard them. So when Yahweh is calling us to relationship, say relationship. Genosko is the kind of knowing that comes. Genosko is a Greek word. It's the knowing that comes from a relationship. So when you know something that Yahweh has told you, it comes from having a relationship with him. He wants a relationship. Say, he wants a relationship with me. A lot of times we're pursuing other relationships, and then people don't want to have no relationship with you. But he wants to have a what? A relationship with you. So in this time of Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, the top of the year, he's calling us to relationship. He's calling us really even to repent, because many of us have not even been walking and desiring a relationship with the Father. And in this time, he's saying, listen, I need you to commit. Every year in the Hebrew has a word associated with it. Every year. And in 2014, it was Adalith was the word associated with. And that meant that it was a door. So 2014 was the year of the open door. And that was the year 5774. Say 5774. So the year, the Hebrew year 5774 is the Gregorian year 2014. Okay? They had a different way of counting the year. So the next year, 2015, would be what Hebrew year? 5775. And 5775 was the year of the hay. And that was the window. So that was the year of the what? Open window. And during the year of the Daleth, the door, and the year of the hay, the window, Yahweh was showing us. He said, 3CLA, I'm opening some doors for you. And then we said, okay, we were ready to receive. And then we had no idea what they were. And then in 2015, he manifested us a brand new church. Hallelujah. Open windows, just poured it out. Open doors and windows. And so he showed us, and then he poured it out. And so The year 5776. Are you with me? What is the year 5776? It's the year of the Vav. Now, I'm still getting the revelation on this year, but it's the year of the hook. Hook. Attachment. Hanging on, holding on. I was trying to find some sweet stuff. Because when I say, hey, it's the year of the open door, everybody say, hey, open door. Open it up. When I was talking about year of the window, it was like, hey, pour it out to open up the windows. And there was like, hey, there's more windows than doors in most houses. And everybody's like, yeah. But this year right here, this year is speaking directly to the end times. Basically, this year is saying, you need to get it together. Because there's some things coming. And you're going to have to be hooked. You're going to have to be latched on. You got to be connected. Because if you're not connected, you just might get washed away. Now, it's not necessarily sweet to those that ain't hanging on. It's sweet to us that's hanging on. Because we're like, hey. But this is what I tell y'all. All of those prophetic years were exactly what they were. So if this year is just as prophetic, you better pay attention. You need to listen. If you never listened before, you need to listen what Yahweh is speaking in this. Because basically he's saying this. And this was really, I don't know if some of you were at Bible study, but there was this urgency that I had at Bible study because we've been getting caught up in just stuff that don't mean nothing. We're getting caught up in our lives, just what we think that we want to do and getting caught up in distracted. Amen. Things that are actually pulling us away from relationship. And he's saying, I need you to come back to relationship. But when we were talking about it Wednesday night, it was this urgency. Like, I need them to know that I need them in relationship with me. If you have been hanging on the outskirts, if you've been just kind of, you could take it or leave it. He's like, that's not going to work anymore. I need you to commit. He's saying, I need you to commit to relationship with me. I need you to commit yourselves to me. And if you have not been 100%, I forgive you, but you need to acknowledge that you haven't been 100%. You need to repent. I will forgive you, and I'm trying to bring you into this. I'm trying to cover you. I'm trying to protect you, but you got to want the covering, and you got to want the protection. There was some mercy and grace going, but he's saying time is winding up. And mercy can't run, y'all, mercy and grace. Thank y'all for it, but it can't run forever. There's going to have to be a time where you're going to have to completely submit and commit yourself to relationship. Who wants relationship with the Father? You want it. But at this time, he's like, wake up. See what's about to happen. Take heed and make preparations. Get your life in order. Something is about to happen. And I need you to be connected. Now, for those of us who are already connected, that's good news, ain't it? Because thank you, Father, that I've been hanging on. I've been holding on. See, no matter what goes in your life, as long as you holding on, as long as you hanging on, you all right. But it's for those who let go. And then say, well, I'll come back to the hook. Ooh. Mom used to say, when people, she wouldn't see them in church. 2, 3, 4 weeks, month or two. And then one Sunday they would come and show up. Maybe like some of y'all have shown up today. Amen. We haven't seen you for a minute. I'm not looking. I can't see you. These lights are in my eyes. But I'm sure there's somebody here today that haven't been here for a while. And she would say, she would embrace him.
Yeah.
She would say, "Ooh, baby, it's good to see you." He said, "Don't stay out there too long. Because there's a time limit on what? Staying out there what? Because some people that have stayed out there too long, they're not gonna make it back. But if you hold on, you might get pulled out a little bit. But as long as you are still holding on, Yahweh's got you. Anybody holding on? We all have that. So I need you to understand that. So when we're talking, when Yeshua is telling us in Matityahu that many have heard these things, they wish they heard the things. You heard it today. This is prophetic. Hold on. I don't have all the information on the year of the hook, but it's all in timing. You guys have you guys seen what's been going on in the news and seeing what's been going on in people's attitudes and all these things? This new group called ISIS that have banded together and now they want to chop off the heads of Christians and all of this stuff that's going on. This is what the end times, this is what Revelations and all of those things we're talking about. This thing is about to wrap up. What you gonna do? I would love to see as many souls that can be won to Yeshua, won to Yeshua. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be filling up this church house. We need to be overflowing, trying to save folks' lives. That's what he wants us to do. Save as many lives as we possibly can. And so when we're talking about this relationship, my God, it's something that we should want. Let's go here. I'm going to take you to, and then I need to explain something. Let's go here to John, Yohanan, and rest of the eighth, John, the eighth chapter. So you got to make sure that what you do here in this new year, you have an opportunity. This Rosh Hashanah, and the way Rosh Hashanah is kind of put together, at 6 o'clock p.m. today is when it starts. Because the evening is the first day. Evening and the morning. And so tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. is when Rosh Hashanah starts. That's the new year. So you still got time to get yourself together. You got until 6 o'clock to get your mind right. And then after that, 10 days after Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, right? So basically you're taking an inventory of yourself during this time. And there's still an opportunity for you to get the head of the year right. Because this is going to set the tone for the rest of your year. And you as being saved, folks, this is setting the tone for this is setting the spiritual tone for the rest of your year. So when 2016 comes in January, you already be set. You already have your spirituality right. You already have your mind right. And you ready. Who wants to be ready? I want to be ready. I want to be ready. John 8th chapter. Yohanan. And it says, Yeshua said to those Jews which believed on him, you guys are those Jews too, because you've been grafted in. You're inward Jews. And Yeshua said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are what? My disciples, indeed. But you have to continue in the word. What does that mean? Keep doing what the word is saying. Stay present, stay connected to the word. And in the 32nd verse, it says, and you shall know or own the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so when we understand this, we have to stay in the truth. Once you found truth, you need to what? Continue in it. And go to 1 Yohanan. And this is where I left off last week. And let me get us up to speed. 1 Yohanan or 1 John, the second chapter. You guys have something special. Say, we have something special. Do you know the Holy Ghost is something special? And so in the 20th verse of the second chapter, it says what? But you have an unction from the Holy One. And what do we say unction was? Unction is from the Greek chrism. And that means you have an anointing. You have a special endowment. You got some special power from the what? From the Holy Ghost. And if we go back to the verse, so we have an unction, an anointing, an endowment from the Holy One that causes something to happen. It says, because of that, you know what? All things. So we have the capacity to what? No. And the 21st verse says what? I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. I've written to you because you know it. And that no lie is what? So he's speaking to you. We should be thankful that these scriptures, scripture after scripture after scripture, that is trying to talk to us, that's trying to tell us something. He was just talking to them. He's talking to you. He's talking to us. And he's like, I haven't written unto you because you don't know the truth. I've written unto you because you know it. And there is no lie in the truth. And the 22nd verse says what? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Yeshua is the Messiah? Whoever's denying it, he is the Antichrist that denies that. And there's a spirit of Antichrist in the world today. I mean, anytime you talk about being a Christian, anytime you talk about being a believer, people are like, what? Jesus, boy. You know, you don't need all that. You know, you think you, wait, this is the one that gets me. You think you better than everybody. Well, you know what? I'm a child of the King. I am better. He made me better. I'm not better on my own, but I'm better because of the power that he has given me in my life. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to be better? Ask your neighbor, don't we want to be better? Isn't that why you got saved in the first place? Because you was living that old dirty, tired, scandalous, ratchet, trifling, toe-up life? I lived it too. It was ratchetness. But I'm so glad that he delivered me from ratchetness. Yes, he did. So yeah, we have been made better. By the grace of Yahweh, thank you. You have made us better. But that's the crazy thing. That's the whole point. Is that we know by who and through who that we've been made better. Through Yeshua, Mashiach, the sacrifice he made. Right? And so when we go here, go to the 26th verse. And it says these things. 26th verse of the second chapter of 1 John, 1 Yohanan. Then he says, these things I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So you guys are in a, you guys are in a straight up, you're walking the right path. You're living the right life. He set you up on a rock. He pulled you out of the miry clay. And he was like, there are some folks that want to take you down. There are some spirits. And there's some spirits that are being used in people. And they're trying to seduce you. How do they do that? See, he even warned you. He was like, okay, I saved you. I picked you up. I done turned you around. But guess what? I need to warn you about something. There's some folks coming to mess with you. There's some spirits coming to mess with you. And the word mess with. And all, that sounds negative. But he's like, they ain't going to obviously come to mess you up. They're going to seduce you. There's something about seduction. Apostle said, Lord have mercy. Some of y'all been seduced. And see, we think seduction is always, you know, sexual in nature. But there's some seduction that goes on that ain't sexual. He's seducing y'all in other kind of ways. Ooh, Apostle said Facebook. Some of y'all seduced. See, some people are doing too much. See, even the apostle wrote, I saw the prosperity of the wicked. See, you see how people be flossing on Facebook like everything is cool, they got money. They got cars, they got dressed, you know, they got clothes, they got women's, and they got men's. And you see how folks are living on social media, and you're like, wow, that's the life. I mean, I got some acquaintances, meaning people that I hate to say friends all the time, but you know, people that I know. And then it looks like they living it up. They flying to the south of France, and you know, they got a new truck and you know. But it's Sunday. I could go on my Facebook right now, and there's some folks, they ain't in church, they living it up. And I gotta say this, there was some times in my life where, you know, I'm in church on Sunday, and you know, I want to go to a Sunday brunch or something, you know, because it looked like everybody's living the high life. So what happens to you? You decide to slip out one Sunday. Oh, Pastor, we're not going to be here this week. We're going to go on vacation. And then 2 weeks later, me on vacation. 2 months later, it's a holiday. Well, what you doing? You getting seduced by the high life. You know, it seems like it's better. It seems like food tastes better when you're not in church. It seems like it tastes better when you're in church, because all you needed to do was just wait until you get out of church. Listen, I let you guys out at 1 o'clock. Brunch is still going on. But you want it at 12. Because the food just what? The devil told you. He told you. You know the food tastes better at 12 o'clock.
You say, oh, that's right, ain't it?
You guys are being so seduced, you don't even know you being seduced. You being so smoothly seduced that you don't even know you being smoothly seduced. It's messing with your commitment. Now you're doing stuff on Wednesday night. You can't even come to prayer. Now, some of y'all are being seduced, and you don't know it. In many ways, you're seeing stuff that you want. You're seeing stuff that you want to be. Yeah. Ooh, I wish I could do that. Ooh, I wish I could be that. You want to be a model? Well, why are you taking all the selfies? Who are you worshiping? I mean, I can't do this. Now, if somebody's in a picture with me, I could do that. If I'm taking a ussy, you know what ussy is? Ussy when there's a couple other people and we like, you know. But if it's just me. That's what's happening. That's what's Tell your neighbor, that's what's happening. And if you're not careful, you'll be like, that. I seen some of y'all. I'm not gonna name no names. But you up there with what did MC Hammer say a few years ago? He said pumps and a bump. That's all I got to say. It'll settle in. But if he's calling for relationship, he's saying, look, wait. Because see, this was before Facebook. And this was before Instagram. And this was before all that other stuff. He knew about that. He knew it was coming. Because he said, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, 27th verse. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you should what? Abide in him. And what he's saying is that I need you to abide in me. And you guys are not on abiding on the end. You on the side, and you what? He needs you to abide in him. Say in him. Amen. And the 28th verse says what? Amen. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. Ooh. Because some of y'all don't seem to have, some of y'all are scared right now. Because if that shofar would sound, blow, am I going to go up? Some of y'all wondering, I don't know if I'm going up. Somebody sitting here right now, if that trumpet sound, thank you for mercy and grace, because I'm not ready. He don't want you to sit up in here and not knowing that you're ready. He's like, just be in me and be confident that when he does appear, you are confident that I'm going up. Anybody confident that if he were to appear, I'm good? That's what he wants. I'm good. And not be ashamed. Well, not be ashamed. Don't raise your hand. Somebody shame, though. Because you're not what? Say in him. As the church, say in him. And some people are not confident because they are not. Some people are ashamed because they are not. It's quiet in here because people are not. But that's good, because he wants y'all to take an inventory. This is the time. Take an inventory. Get it together. Get it right. Take an inventory. Get on the hook. Get on the valve. Hey, I like that. Get on the valve. Because the 29th verse says this. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And so I need to share you one last bit of Hebrew knowledge. When they would train the kids, I told you guys about the different levels of training that went forth. They didn't have all of these tools that we use to remember stuff. So they had to remember, they had to memorize the whole Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, right? And they memorized this, and I said this Wednesday night, because as the more word that they memorized, the word became a part of them. And so when you're getting that word and you're allowing that word to become a part of you, you're in him, right? And so what they would do is the first level of learning was called Bet Sefer, and that's the house of the book. And this is when I told you guys at 6 years old, they would have the kids memorize these things, right? And so at the end of that, you should have been able to memorize the whole, but I'm talking about memorize the whole chapter, not the names of the books, but memorize, say, the whole chapter. So you had to memorize the whole first five books of the Bible, right? And that was called, Bet-Sefer was called the house of the book. You would have to memorize that. So then, like around 11 or 12 years old, you came into a higher learning, which was called the house of learning or the Bet Talmud. And the cool thing about the Bet Talmud was that you would memorize the whole Hebrew text. And this was the thing that really caught me. Different rabbis trained different students. So you would know who the student was trained by a very interesting thing. You had the word, right? So say if I had the word, and say if I'm a rabbi, and Langston's a rabbi. And so we both would have the word, but then there would be maybe slight differences in how we interpreted the word, right? And so maybe I said, well, I'll do the Sabbath, but on the Sabbath, I'll do this. And he'll say, well, no, Pastor Tom, well, Rabbi Tom, if I did, I agree with you on doing the Sabbath, but I say I couldn't do that, but I would do this. And so all the differences that the rabbis had, they would write the differences in a book. So not only did they have the word, but they had these differences that were unique to that rabbi, how the rabbi interpreted. Huh? Distinctive. So sometimes you would know who was following what rabbi by some of the little things that they might have done. Guess what they call that book that was specific to each rabbi? A yoke. So depending on which rabbi you were following, there would be all these clarifications and things called a yoke. And if you were following Rabbi Langston, then you took Rabbi Langston's yoke. And his yoke was written out. And then think about it. If there's all these differences, do you know how lengthy a yoke could be? And so, depending on which rabbi you followed, he could have the book, and he could have about 10 books of yokes. But go to Matthew. Go to Matityahu. So understanding this, we go to Matthew 11. And the 28th verse, Matthew 11. So Yeshua was a rabbi. And he's like, listen, I know y'all following different folks. But he said, 28th verse, but come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden. You're trying to get in. You're trying to do all of the right things. You're trying, you know, you want to be taught. You want to be led. You want to be shown. I'm here now. I am the Mashiach. So I say to you that are trying to do the right thing, that are trying to come, that are trying to be teach and are teachable, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I, Yeshua says, I will what? Give you rest. And then the 29th verse says, he says, take my yoke. Take my yoke. You. There's a whole bunch of other yokes out there that you can follow that are not exactly my word, but they're conjured up in these men's minds as to what they should do. But I'm telling you, now that I'm here, I've got the truth for you. Amen. So he says, take my yoke upon you and do something. Learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And you're going to find rest for your souls. And the 30th verse says, for my yoke is easy and my what? Burden is light. He was like, there's a whole lot of other stuff out there, but he says, I'm here and I'm calling you for relationship. I'm not asking you to do a whole bunch of stuff. He said, my yoke is what? Who knows that his yoke is easy? It's very clear what he's asking of us. And today he's asking for what? Relationship. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And if you are heaven burdened and heavy laden, he's come to give you rest. You need to thank Yahweh. Thank Yeshua for that. Father Yahweh, we thank you for this time that you're speaking in. This season that you're speaking in. This season that's calling for relationship. This season that's calling for us to connect with you, stay with you, connect with truth, stay with truth. Connect to righteousness, stay in righteousness. To not be outside of you, to be in you. We thank you for this opportunity. Maybe some of us have not been positioned, but thank you for opening our eyes so that we can get this right. We understand there's times ahead and there's unknown ahead, but as long as we're in you, we're going to be all right. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, our desire is to be closer, and we understand that drawing closer to you means more in your word, more in your spirit. Strengthen us right now in the mighty name of Yeshua, that we receive all that you have for us. You told us to come unto you, all of us that are weak and heavy laden, and you would give us rest. We need your rest. You told us to take your yoke upon us and learn of you. We want to learn more about you. We want to be closer to you. Whatever you have to offer us in knowledge, we're taking it. We're owning it. And if we haven't done that in the past, forgive us. But moving forward, we're going to do it. We're going to give it all to you. We're not going to hold anything back. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love. Help us. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Keep your head bowed. We're talking about relationship. Some of us are in relationship. Some of us are not in relationship. I need to put this call out here because if he's calling you, if he's speaking to you, if he's drawing you to come unto him, you have to acknowledge that. And if you know that that is what's happening in your life and you want that, you want relationship. He is calling today. If you want relationship, I can pray for you. We can pray for you. And it just simply takes an acknowledgement from you. So if you want to start relationship today with the Father, just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Pray for you. Hallelujah. We will pray. We will pray. If you want that relationship, if you want to initiate that relationship, hallelujah. We will pray for you today. Yeah. Now, maybe you have been in relationship with him, but you've drifted away. And you know that he's calling for restoration. He wants to restore that relationship. You want that relationship stored. You know that you've drifted away. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us, but we drift away from him, pull away. If you say, no, I want to be in relationship. I want that renewed. I want to be restored. If you want that today, we'll pray for you. Just raise your hand for restoration. If you want restoration today, you say, I want that relationship restored. I know that he can do it. I want it. Hallelujah. So then there's those of us who, we've heard the message today, and maybe we have not been as close in relationship. So wherever you are, you just speak to him in this moment in time that you're going to be better, that you're going to recommit, that you're going to take this opportunity as at the head of the year, the top of the year, to rededicate. Father Yahweh, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity today. Father, those who you've been speaking